All right, let's get rolling. The way we need to roll over the Boomers is roll right over them. Fucking steamroller. He is the Messiah, and he is the toucher of children. Biden, children, children, Biden. It rhymes. See, it rhymes. It's like click it or ticket.
You can scream and shout with all your might.
Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan. Look for a safe space. This ain't it.
Dig in your heels and hold on tight.
You can shove your opinions up your ass. That way Biden's cock has something to keep it company.
Either you are wrong or I am right.
Don't forget, my friends and my enemies, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong and I am right. You can go fuck yourselves. Yes, you can. You can do that. Now, some of you may need government assistance to fuck yourselves because you can't do it on your own. God forbid you do anything on your own, right? The only thing you can do on your own is parasite. But hell, some of you out there probably need assistance in order to be a parasite. And then, of course, there's the Boomers. The Boomers can't do a fucking thing on their own. The Boomers require sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice from everybody else so that the Boomers can continue to live in their deluded fantasy world in which, number one, they have significance, and number two, they're never going to die because they are, of course, the center of the cosmos. Now, you may or may not recall that on the previous episode of the Greasy Pole podcast, Adam mentioned that he had heard about a book called Boomers, written by some woman, and supposedly it was a scathing book. Adam didn't say it was scathing because he hadn't read it. He said that he heard it was a scathing book. So I thought, all right, I'll check into it, even though I have now officially adapted Adam Piggott's policy of not reading books written by women. I thought I'll take a chance on it. You know, speaking of that, so let me tangent on two things real quick. By the way, it is 09:27 hours here on the morning of May the 16th in the year of our Lord and Savior, Biden the Child Toucher, 2021. According to the weather forecast, today it's supposed to be raining, cloudy, 55 degrees for a high. I took a little walk this morning. The sun was shining. It was beautiful. It was 65 degrees, barely a cloud in the sky. I'm feeling good, feeling happy. I played a little Star Wars this morning. I did some other stuff. I got some things done. I went by the post office, got a check for some work I did a couple of weeks ago. So I got money. Man, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really good. So now I'm just waiting for something to go horribly wrong. Because, of course, anytime I'm this happy, it's natural that something at some point must go horribly, horribly wrong. Last night, I attempted to listen to some podcasts as I was going to bed. And I've complained about pseudopod enough, and I've complained about escape pod enough. So I was finally more or less caught up on those. So now I'm listening to a science fiction podcast called Lightspeed Magazine. And the first episode, I got through maybe 15 minutes, and there's no science fiction. So it's like, all right, skip. The next episode is the Queers. Was it Queers? Or was it Gays? It was one of the, it doesn't fucking matter. It was either Queers Destroy Science Fiction or Gays Destroy. I heard that's what they started off with. You know, welcome to Gays Destroy Science Fiction. Skip. Went to the next one, written by a woman. Skip. I'm done. Oh, God, it's just painful. And of course, here's the part where our conservative friends will come forth and say, well, you know, great one, science fiction is just beneath us. Yeah, we can't be bothered with things like music and comic books and science fiction, you know, because all those things are beneath us. We are conservatives. Why, I'm a conservative. Those things, the things that, you know, normal, average, everyday, hundreds of thousands of people pay attention to and listen to and influences their thought process. See, those things are beneath me, great one, because I'm a conservative. I can't be concerned with those things. Can't you see? I'm busy trying to beat back the liberals by working hard every day and paying my taxes. So you conservatives, you keep on thinking that everything is beneath you, because that's how you're going to win the culture war, the one that you've already lost. I also, when was it, Friday? A couple of days ago? Made a run to the Safeway grocery store. Oh! God, hold on. I'm about to cough my brains out. As small as my brains are, that wouldn't take much. All right, I was going to what? See, then I just what I did is I derailed my train of thought. So grocery store. Oh, okay. So when you hear this, you'll hear this on Wednesday. On Monday, you'll have gotten the podcast where I talk about how the state of Colorado is finally relaxing the muzzle requirements. Yada yada yada. So I'm out walking this morning. That I saw one business that already has the sign on the door that it says, muzzles still required. Still. See, so we're already preemptively, it's not even Monday yet when theoretically you don't have to wear a muzzle. The businesses are already putting up signs saying, no, muzzles are still required because we're virtue signaling white people who value everyone in the world more than we value our own people because we have no culture, no heritage, no identity, no memory, because we've allowed everything around us to be taken over by liberals because conservatives can't be bothered with popular culture because it's beneath them, because conservatives are busy working so hard, paying their taxes, obeying the law, and of course, sending their children to public school to be indoctrinated by their enemies. I went to the grocery store a few days ago. I did notice this, the little stickers on the floor that tell you which direction to walk down the aisle. Because, you know, if anyone walks down the aisle in the same direction, the Wuhan can't spread. But if you're going different directions, then the Wuhan spreads. So that's how you make Wuhan go away. You don't need to be vaccinated. Everyone just has to walk in the same direction, 6 feet apart while wearing a muzzle, and you can't get Wuhan. But I noticed the stickers on the floor telling you which direction to walk down the aisle, those have gone away. I'm honestly surprised. I didn't think they would. What hasn't gone away is in the checkout lane, there's still stickers there telling you to stand 6 feet apart, and every other checkout lane is still closed for social distancing. So that was a bunch of asides. It has nothing to do with anything. Other than the podcast story had to do with the fact that women can't write. So anyhow, Adam Piggott told me about this book. And he said he was considering reading it, even though it was written by a woman, because it's supposed to be a scathing assault upon the boomers. Well, the great one got the book from the library, and we're going to go through it. We're not, and this might end up being a two-parter. We'll see. Let me start off with this. Don't bother reading the book. Okay? Whoever told Adam that this book is a scathing assault on the boomers doesn't know what the word scathing means. The book is bad. I'm going to read some of it to you. The introduction, here's the thing. She starts off good. And when we get in the intro, we'll actually talk about why this, well, we'll talk about the book. Once I got past that into the quote unquote meat of the book, I couldn't get through it. It's literally Hitler unreadable. It's just boring. I don't know where she's going. I don't know what this has to do with anything. It certainly isn't scathing. And if I have time, because I got to get this book back to the library. If I have time, maybe we'll just open it to a random section and read some of it, and you can see what the fuck I'm talking about. But let's get into this. So the book examines some specific boomers. That's her take here, which isn't actually her take, but we'll get to that, all right? So it starts off, the first chapter is the boomers. That one's not too bad. We're going to read extensively from that one and discuss it. So number two, chapter two, Steve Jobs. Chapter three, Aaron Sorkin. Never heard of him. Chapter four, Jeffrey Sachs. Chapter five, Camille Paglia is, I think, the correct pronunciation on my 17th attempt. Chapter six, Al Sharpton. Chapter seven, Sonia Santamayer. And chapter eight, The Millennials, which one thought might have been interesting, but it wasn't. It's just... So anyhow, the only chapter I made it all the way through was chapter one and chapter two. After that, it just started getting boring and stupid. So we're going to jump ahead to chapter two and read some stuff about the Steve Jobs. About the Steve Jobs. That's proper English. Steve Jobs used to say that Apple was an Ellis Island company. He meant that people too rebellious to work at Hewlett-Packard or Intel ended up there. Now the great tech behemoths are Ellis Island companies in a different way. More than half of the tech workers in Silicon Valley are foreign-born. A conservative journalist once analyzed the big tech... God damn it. Take three. A conservative journalist once analyzed the big tech company's spending on lobbying to see which bills received the most attention. The top targets weren't patent protections or communication spending, but visas for high-skilled workers. Cheap labor from Asia is one reason wages for computer programmers have been stagnant since 1998. And this gives us another opportunity not just to attack the boomers, but also to point out you cuckservatives and why you suck. Because remember, you cuckservatives, the cuckservatives are all about immigration as long as it's legal, right? They're all about bringing in people to take their jobs. Well, we got to bring in these people that do the high-tech jobs. Well, wait, why can't all these fucking unicorn women that are majoring in STEM do the high-tech jobs? I mean, cuckservatives love to go on and on about economics, but it's like they don't understand economics. You're going to bring in people from other countries to do the high-paying jobs because they'll do them cheaper. Well, then you make it more difficult for the people who already live here to do the high-paying jobs and to get the high-paying jobs. And as she points out, the wages remain stagnant. I didn't research that to make sure it's true, but I mean, she's a woman. She's a unicorn woman. She's a conservative woman. She's a conservative. She's attacking you. Why, we can't argue with her, can we, conservatives? Why, no, she's a unicorn. But this whole thing, conservatives just can't figure out that bringing in people from foreign countries and shoving women into the workplace drives down wages. I don't understand why conservatives... Oh, I do. It's because conservatives are so desperate to be egalitarian. They're so desperate to be loved by everyone. They're so desperate to be friends with everybody that they can just ignore basic economic realities. The more people you put into the labor pool, the lower wages will go. I don't know why this is complicated. Even I, not an economics major, not a PhD, even I can understand this. Conservatives completely beyond that. Why, yes, we need to import more software engineers from India. Somebody's got to do all those engineering jobs. We need all these engineering jobs. Okay, why don't your precious STEM girls do it? Big tech has proceeded to remake the rest of America in its image, insofar as cheap immigrant labor is the crucial ingredient that makes the app economy possible. The technology for something like online grocery delivery existed in the late 1990s. Instacart is succeeding where dot-com bubble-era companies like Cosmo and Webvan failed because of the availability of low-wage casual labor. Cosmo's delivery men were salaried employees with benefits. If the company had tried to hire people as contractors on 1099s in the late 1990s, it would not have found enough takers to keep the operation running. And this again, this is another thing a lot of you conservatives celebrate. Why, you can get a job driving for meal delivery or whatever. Oh, really? Wow, that's fantastic. Remember the days before you guys flooded the job market with immigrants and women when men could get jobs that paid good wages, you know, a full work week with benefits and retire? Remember those days, the gold watch days? I understand the gold watch days are over, but this is why the gold watch days are over. Because the boomers and the conservatives have destroyed the economy. Yeah, the liberals destroyed the economy too, but they only did that because the conservatives let them, because the conservatives are the men who haven't spanked their women enough that their women would stop being feminist. Okay? It's the conservative. Just like men have allowed women to do all the stupid shit that's ruined our country, the reason libtards have done all the things that have destroyed the country is because the conservatives didn't have the balls to stop them. The conservatives didn't have the balls to just tell them to shut the fuck up. Like I said, when Jack Spierko was waxing on about how you have so much economic freedom today, you could go anywhere and get a job driving for food delivery. Wow. I mean, yes. Oh, so much freedom. You could go anywhere in the United States and get a shitty job. I got to do a podcast about this too. I'm dangerously close to just tangenting right into this now. But I got something real fucking serious to say about this whole fucking, oh, I'm gonna be a 1099 in the app economy and I'm going to drive for food delivery in Walmart, man. It's going to be awesome, dude. Wow. I have so much economic activity and potential, man. I got some shit to say about that. But we're going to save it for a dedicated podcast, which I need to do soon. I need to do a lot of things soon. But, you know, her point here again, Cosmo. So, yeah, so this was a company that back in the day tried to do this stuff. But yeah, instead of hiring people through a cell phone, you know, for 10 hours a week or some shit, they tried paying people like real employees and they couldn't make it. And the fact that this is right up there. Okay, here, I'm going to tangent. The fact, this whole thing where conservatives celebrate the fact that you can use your car and your gasoline to drive around and deliver food to fat people for 10 hours a week after you work your real job in order to make an extra $7 an hour, and that's supposed to be some grand economic activity, right? The fact that conservatives think that's a wonderful thing and a sign of a strong economy and all this other shit, that's right up there with when the conservatives say, well, but we're so much better off today. A color television cost less than it did 20 years ago. Right. I don't understand what you conservatives use as, well, actually I do. This is the terrifying part. That what conservatives use as a measure of the quality of life is how much disposable income you have to buy shit that you don't really need. And if that is the measure of a quality life, according to a conservative, that might help explain why the conservatives have lost the culture war. Because buying shit is not culture. Buying shit is not progress, and buying shit is sure as hell not happiness. It's not fulfillment, it's not achievement, it's not success. You know, just like the women's have been convinced that you get fulfillment from having a career, conservatives have been convinced that you get fulfillment from being able to work three different jobs, making an average wage of $9 an hour, but then you can go to Walmart and afford a flat screen TV. Okay, that's not fulfillment. The hell are my notes? Moving on. Blah, 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 blah. As terrible as this economic trap is for the people stuck inside it, it's even worse for those outside. The fastest growing jobs in America are in wealth work. That is, the servant class for the metropolitan elite. The only thing worse than spending your adult life as a yoga instructor or dog groomer is living in a city with no one to be yoga instructors and dog groomers for. Tech helped to create this economy, and tech is what keeps it stable by giving us the greatest bread and circuses of all times. Casino owners discovered in the late 1980s that people who gambled on screens became addicted 3 to 4 times faster than those who gambled at tables. The rest of America had learned that lesson by 1992, when a third of homes had Nintendo systems. Men without jobs, that's the great one, have video games, Star Wars, the way men without girlfriends, it's a bunch of you, have pornography. And growing numbers of men are finding the substitute good enough to be going on with, declining to pursue either permanent employment or marriage. Well, yeah, because neither of them, thanks to conservatives and white men, you know, allowing the destruction of the economy and allowing women to run wild and uncontrolled, neither a job or a woman is particularly worth it at this point in our society. Yeah, if I can figure out how to just stay home the rest of my life and play Star Wars and read books and yell at the internet, I will do that. When I say bring on the universal basic income, if you think I'm joking, you're not paying attention. I'm done. I'm done. Done. D-U-N. Done. You dangle universal basic UBI in front of me, I will take it in a heart. I'm done. But great one, you're a parasite. Yep. Done. Gonna enjoy the decline, gonna watch it, gonna laugh, gonna yell at the internet, gonna hit things with a lightsaber, gonna live on your tax money. You don't like it? Go fuck yourself. Import somebody from India to fucking do something about it, because you sure as hell can't do anything about it. You're a fucking conservative. You can't even control your fucking woman. How are you gonna do anything about me? The historian David Courtwright calls this limbic capitalism, the redirection of America's productive energies into inducing and servicing addictions. Yeah, I mean, the amount of time that is spent pursuing porn, computer games, you know, yelling at the internet. What if all this was channeled in some productive direction? But then what's the point? Now, I will say this. You should, if you can channel, you know, channeling it into a truly productive direction. So let me give you an example here. If your options are go to some fucking dead-end job making, you know, $12 an hour, or playing computer games at home and getting UBI, you should play computer games at home and get UBI. Now, if your options are buy a piece of property and develop the property and do permaculture there and make a little lake and put some fish in there and get a couple of goats and start a garden and create a little homestead that's going to make you somewhat self-sufficient, or play video games, watch porn, and yell at the internet, you should go create the homestead. Okay, everything is relative, right? Everything is relative. As much as I just said, I'll take your fucking UBI and play computer games all day long, if the right job shows up with the right amount of money, I would go. So everything's relative. But be aware of where you are on the scale. Sometimes staying home and playing computer games is better than going to get a job. Thank you, conservatives. Appreciate you driving the wages down with your desperation to be egalitarians that are loved by everyone. Peter Sutterman of the libertarian magazine Reason has a different phrase for it. Video games mimic the process of setting goals and achieving them. That's true. Strange as it sounds, this fake achievement produces real feelings of contentment. That's true. That's what I enjoy about playing Star Wars. You have goals, you achieve them, you did something. Now, I recognize that it's not a real thing in the world. Once again, it's not like planting a garden. It's, you know, it's not like banging a girl. It's not like, you know, running a light show for a concert. It's not like writing a book. It isn't. It's not a real tangible thing. But it does, in the brain chemistry, produce the same response. And so it feels just as good. I mean, I understand exactly what's going on with this game. Believe you me, I see, oh, they drop these little pellets. It's like a fucking rat in a cage, right? And your rat rings the bell and it gets a pellet. The game's filled with that shit. I know exactly what's going on. That doesn't make me immune to it, right? Not at all. I love playing it. But I'm perfectly aware of what's going on. And this is what's going on. If America's jobless can't achieve meaningful goals in the real world, he asked, why not let them have their simulacron? Video games, says Sutterman, are a kind of universal basic income for the soul. I don't know if I'd call them that. I would just point out that, yes, video games allow you to have specific goals and you go and accomplish them. And because we're boys, and because boys like accomplishing things, unlike women who enjoy talking about their feelings, because men and women are different, believe it or not. I know it's hard to believe. I know that's not what you STEM girls learned in college. But men and women are different. Men like to achieve goals. We like to do things. We like to be able to spend some time with some shit and then stand back and say, look, I accomplished something. Women just want to talk about their feelings. This is why boys like video games, because video games stimulate that accomplishment need of the brain chemistry. Skipping ahead, skip, 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 skip. As much as advances in shipping and communication, globalization depends on everyone's wealth being more digitized and securitized? Is that a word? More digitized and securitized than ever before. which means that globalization is fundamentally connected to the most salient and striking economic fact about the baby boomer generation. They have more debt than any other people in history. Again, I don't know if do the millennials have more debt because of their student loans? I mean, I'd have to, these are some numbers we'd have to look up, but again, let's go with it. The baby boomers lived through a revolution in money. That's for sure. They were the first generation where everyone had a credit card. That is absolutely for sure. I cannot even imagine my grandmother owning a credit card or buying something on credit, buying shit she didn't need on credit. Same with my grandfather. Whereas my mother and my stepfather, the fucking credit cards were out of control. Holy shit. They were the first generation where everyone had a credit card, the first where everyone had investments in the stock market or a 401k, the first generation to live in America where finance accounts for 20% of the GDP. That is where one of the country's largest industries is the manipulation of debt. This is greedy, as opposed to just fiendishly clever, because it has all been in the pursuit of consumption. Now let us pause here for a moment, because the truth of this, because yes, it's the boomers, once again, I think about my grandmother and my grandfather. They didn't buy shit all the time. And my grandfather, I can't even remember last, other than the food. Like, in the years that I was, even though I was around my grandfather very infrequently, I was around my grandmother much more frequently. Like, my grandfather, other than food, I don't think he ever bought anything. Food and gasoline. Like, as far as stuff, things, he didn't buy shit. My grandmother, I mean, she liked her little knickknacks every once in a while. She had her spoon collection every once in a while. She'd buy a spoon or she'd buy, you know, this little bird that would sit on. But that's it. She didn't buy shit. She didn't buy anything. Clothes, my grandmother hardly ever bought clothes. My mother buys clothes all the fucking time. I mean, she's 75 years old. She's fucking fat. She's unattractive. No one gives a shit what she looks. She's still buying clothes. She'll email me. I bought these cute t-shirts. Okay, the t-shirts may be cute, but you're not. When you put the t-shirt on, it's not going to transfer the cuteness to you. Do you not understand this? And she doesn't, because she's a boomer. Because the boomers are all about consuming. Consume, consume, consume. Let's buy more stuff. We need more stuff. Oh my God, global warming. Capitalism is evil. I'm going to go to Walmart and buy more stuff because it's on sale. And all that stuff you buy at Walmart, you do realize that that impacts the environment that you claim you care about, right? I mean, they're just the most fucking delusional, detached from reality group of people ever. Now, to use myself as the example here, because I'm perfect, right? It's like, there is no global warming. We all know that. There's no such thing as global warming. But nonetheless, I recognize that every fucking thing that I buy does have an impact on the environment. As I don't buy shit that I don't need. I also don't buy shit that I don't need because I don't need it. I also don't buy shit that I don't need because I would prefer to save money, you know, in case I don't know, maybe there's like this virus hoax and I lose my job. You know, I don't want to be homeless. I know it's a stretch. I mean, what are you talking about, great one? This isn't a movie. I mean, there wouldn't be any kind of a virus hoax where the government would shut everything down and throw people into unemployment. Why? No, that would never happen. My mother is 75 years old, and she still And I know this because she tells me in her emails, I got some classic emails from my mother. I got to do a podcast about, I do so many podcasts. I got to play less Star Wars and I got to do more podcasting. You know, if you guys would reward me for podcasting more by sending me cuckbucks, I would podcast more and play less Star Wars. You could hear all these great stories. Anyway, where was I going with all that? Boomers, consumption. My mother, 75-year-old boomer mother, she just spends. She's on a fixed income, parasitical, my tax money. I paid taxes, she didn't. I paid income taxes this year. She got money from the government. I paid for that. My parasitical 75-year-old boomer mother, who's on a fixed income and complains to me about how her Medicare or Medicaid or whatever it is, you know, didn't go up enough to cover the rising cost for medication, because she's on medications, of course, because she's unhealthy, because God forbid you eat right, do some intermittent fasting, take some fucking vitamin C and some vitamin D, and sure as hell forbid you lift any fucking heavy objects and put them back down, because you're a woman and you shouldn't have to do any of that, because women's are just entitled to having everything for free, because women's have grown up to believe they're entitled to just get everything because they have vagina, because conservatives refuse to fucking spank them. And so my 75-year-old boomer mother is still fucking spending money at Walmart like a goddamn teenager. Because another key aspect of the boomers and who and what they are is they've never grown up. They have never fucking matured. She touches on that. But think about it. They haven't. They still, just like women, still act like they're 16. Boomers, regardless of gender, still act like they're 16. They have absolutely not grown up in the slightest. Debt used to be about investing. Interest was tax deductible through the 1950s because loans were almost always business expenses intended to yield some productive return. Only in the lifetime of the boomers, and especially after their rise to financial maturity in the 1980s, was debt widely used simply for the accumulation of stuff. Fueling that appetite for consumption meant, among other things, building cheap plastic products in Asian factories. It has been said that baby boomers were the first generation to define themselves by what they consumed and not what they produced. And that's because the baby boomers haven't really produced a fucking thing. But they certainly have consumed. Oh, they've produced some chaos. They've produced economic destruction. They've produced the decline of Western civilization. They've produced the Wuhan hoax. Yeah, they have produced some things, but none of them are good. Now, this next point she makes, you've heard me talk about this in the past. You will hear me talk about it very shortly in the future again. Putting advertisements for brands on one's clothes, for example, would have revolted a more dignified generation. I cannot imagine. Once again, I cannot imagine my grandmother or my grandfather wearing a fucking t-shirt with a corporate logo on it. I've said this before. I do not wear clothes that has somebody's logo on it. Now, unless I'm working for you and you're paying me, right? When I work at Weyland-Yutani, I wear a Weyland-Yutani t-shirt. I'm getting paid to wear that. But, you know, you'd see, walking around with your fucking Nike shirt on. Is Nike paying you to advertise for them? Your Coca-Cola t-shirt, is Coca-Cola paying you to advertise for them? Can you imagine? You know, think back to the days of World War I, the Great Depression, you know, World War II. Look at all those pictures. Do you see people with clothing that has corporate logos on it? No. Oh, great one. t-shirts with corporate logos didn't exist back then. Yeah, maybe because nobody at the corporations had thought anyone, maybe the corporations knew no one would be stupid enough to wear it. I don't know. But they weren't there and those people didn't wear that shit. The fucking boomers, they can't stop advertising the corporations that destroy the environment that they love giving their money to so they can consume and consume and consume because that's all they're about. Just consume. They're literally ravenous parasites destroying the fucking planet Earth. And that's why they virtue signal so hard about how much they care about the Earth and global warming. Oh my God, we have to care about the children's. You boomers are the ones, more than anyone else, most responsible for the destruction. But great one. Are they more responsible? Or are they even more responsible for the destruction than
the Jews?
The Jews. Yes. As much as I don't like to admit it, yes, the boomers have done more to destroy the world than even Das Juden. But boomers degraded consumption as much as they elevated it. The products grew shoddier. We all know that's true. And so did the experience of shopping. Discount giants like Target, Walmart, and Kmart, all founded in 1962, marketed themselves as stores where you could shop in your pajamas if you wanted. Quote, if a person wants to shop in a department store, they usually cannot walk in slacks or shorts, one discount store proprietor noted in 1961, whereas at his store, shoppers wore pedal pushers or even dungarees. Steve Jobs wanted to transcend this cheap consumerism by creating beautiful products as different from the usual plastic garbage as Chespanese dinner, I don't even know what that is from McDonald's. In a limited way, he succeeded. He built the most beautiful products on the market, objects whose worth derived not from their rarity, as with luxury goods and status symbols, but from their intrinsic quality. But what does it say about the boomers that even their most valuable products are ones that, by their nature, will never be passed on to their children? And this is another thing the boomers have given us that I have ranted about before and I'm going to rant about now. The world of disposable everything. Once you think back to the past, right? It's like T.J. Martinell, he talks about how he's got a rocking chair that's been in his family for all these years. It came like on the wagon, you know, across, you know, and now, like, what do the boomers have? Like, I think about my mother. Okay. She has nothing that I want. Like, there's no family heirlooms anymore. There's no furniture, there's no rocking chair that's passed down through the family, right? And the boomers, my mother's not really into iPhones and shit like that. But yeah, like you think about it, I'm going to get the newest iPhone. And this iPhone, and it's the newest iPhone. It's the center of your life, and it's so valuable to you, and you spend all this money on it. And in 2 years, it'll be completely obsolete. You'll be buying a new one, right? There's nothing. Everything, the boomers have created this society in which everything is disposable. Everything becomes replaceable. Everything becomes obsolete. There's nothing that gets handed down anymore. There are no family heirlooms from the boomer generation. I mean, there aren't. Am I wrong? Can you think of anything? I can't. Yeah, I have things that belonged to my grandmother, the coffee pot that I talk about, the little coffee percolator. I have things from when I was a baby. I have my baby silver. For those of you who don't know what that is, because I'm sure that, as I'm saying, that's not a thing anymore, I'm sure. When I was born, you get like a little, you get a silver cup and a silver spoon, and you have the baby's name and birth date engraved on it. You know, and that's your baby silver. And so maybe that's the one thing that I can say my boomer ass mother, you know, has okay, that's the one thing I've got from the boomers. But what has the boomer generation given us that gets passed down? Nothing. Nothing that I can think of. It's all disposable. It's all built-in obsolescence. All right, here's what we're going to do so that I can return the book. Because I actually photocopied the introduction chapter so that I could highlight in it all the shit that I'm going to read. Let me just open this to a random page. Okay, here we go. This Camille Paglia. All right. Camille Paglia, of all people, should have known that this escalation of licentiousness would not come to rest in a happy equilibrium. She had seen the same thing with her gay friends. Paglia was a fruit fly from an early age, as one might have expected a self-confessed Wildian. Quote, one might expect of a self-confessed Wildian. I don't know what a Wildian is, nor do I care. I'm reading this to you so you can experience how horribly bad this book is. Quote, what attracted me to gay men in college in the 1960s was their fierce independence of mind, their whiplash tongues, and their scorn for bourgeois decorum, sacrum, sentimentality, and empty ideology. Unquote. She joined with gusto in all their campiest pastimes, including pornography. Quote, we watched gay porn together and commented on the size of the actors' members, unquote. This is what boomers are doing with, this is the boomer, this is boomers doing that, yes. Bruce Benderson told The Advocate. Oh, that was the end of the quote. All right, Benderson and Paglia met when they were 10 years old, growing up in Syracuse, New York. She credits him with being the only man whose knowledge of the films of Joan Crawford is more encyclopedic than her own. I mean, do you care? I don't care. What does this have to do with anything? The golden age of tagging along to drag bars and discussing the finer points of Betty Davis did not last. I remember when the doors of the men's bars closed in my face, she recalled. It was probably 1974. The hostility to a female presence was palpable. The reason, pitch black orgy rooms and sex shows, chained men sodomizing in slings were coming into fashion. An attempt to pass in drag drew derisive laughter from the bouncers. It was, I mean, okay, so this woman likes going to gay bars. Why do I care? Why is this in the, what does it have to do with anything? All right, her act has not changed much since the heyday. Her third essay collection, Free Women, Free Men, dwelled on the same themes as her first two and even reprinted the same pieces, not just a handful of reprints, but dozens. When a writer offers her public the same book three times in a row, she is either obsessed or groveling for matter. Paglia seems to be the latter. Her education equipped her to become a great critic, but at some point in her development, she stalled. Her first book. I mean, I don't care. I don't care about this analysis and analysis of the lives of these fucking boomers that don't matter. And maybe that's the point of her book. I don't know that these boomers tried to be great or could have been great. Well, that is the point of her book, I think, is that these boomers could have been great, but they failed. But I mean, I think we know that. I don't know. I would have been more interested. And I think we'll see. This is why the introduction is a lot better. And we'll do the next podcast. Well, a upcoming podcast will be about the introduction. I don't know if it will be the next one or a couple later, but it'll be soon. The introduction, she talks about the boomer generation and the effects of their stupidity in a broader scope. And that's more interesting to me than going in. I mean, yes, Steve Jobs needs to be made fun of, and Al Sharpton needs to be made fun of, and all, but I didn't want to read that, and it wasn't interesting. She didn't keep my attention at all. Thus, the rule stands. Don't read books written by the women's. And then I find myself at the point in the podcast where I have 2 minutes to fill, and I've really just fucking run out of steam. And anything interesting to say? Should we try reading some more of this book? Should I? Let me look at this. I mean, I'm glancing through here to see if there's anything even worth making fun of. Okay, I'm in the Al Sharpton chapter, and she's just going on about just stuff. It's like a mini biography of Al Sharpton. I don't care. A natural consequence of our detachment from historical reality is that our racial discourse has become detached from current reality. Well, yeah, that's because you conservatives gave up on tradition and culture. You didn't want to preserve Western culture because you wanted to be friends with everyone. University-trained radicals rail against microaggressions that their grandfathers would have struggled to discern. Yes, that's because you conservatives wouldn't spank your women. You let them run wild. The boundaries of acceptable opinion shifts at the whim of activists who authority derives not from any following among actual people of color. My God, she calls them people of color. But from their meritocratic credentials on their social media. I don't care. I just don't care about the rest of this book. All right, that's it for now. Why should you bother with